In a few minutes, is your knee surgeon searching YouTube for how-to knowledge? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump and First Lady Melania arrived in London to start a three-day trip to the UK today. Pomp is planned by the hosts, but so are protests by critics of Trump policy. Beyond that, one part of this visit is intended to commemorate the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and there will likely be trade talk. Marketplace's Renata Sago has more on that.
President Trump's second visit to the UK will start with plenty of traditional British pomp and circumstance with the royal family. Then he'll sit down for lunch with Prime Minister Theresa May. But she's stepping down as head of the British government this Friday. So Scott Lucas, who teaches international relations at the University of Birmingham in the UK, says this is a bad time to talk politics.
Brexit has been so chaotic and so dysfunctional that the UK is not in any position to really be discussing trade deals with the Americans at this point.
Trump is likely to push his vision when he meets with May, according to Jeremy Shapiro, research director at the European Council on Foreign Relations.
To encourage the UK to leave the EU, and then he wants to create a bilateral deal, which will be very favorable to the United States.
It's a deal that would take a little bit of diplomacy and a lot of coordination, which Shapiro says are both lacking right now. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
As investors move some money out of stocks into bonds in recent weeks, there's also been a sharp move out of emerging markets. Brazil, Argentina, Turkey are just some of the places contributing to what's seen by investors as a correction, as measured by an emerging markets index, that is to say down 10% from a recent peak. On Mondays, we sketch out some of the market psychology with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives here in New York. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
So in our focus on the S&P 500, or heaven forbid, the Dow Jones 30, we sometimes miss that emerging markets, developing economies, have been having a bad few weeks. You're seeing that on your radar, too.
Absolutely. Our markets have been struggling with all of the news on trade, but it hits actually emerging markets even harder because they're smaller countries, more vulnerable, more risky environments. So actually, the S&P 500 has been outperforming global indexes.
Well, I mean, if you get on the wrong side of tariffs, that can certainly affect an emerging market. But it's also that as international investors take a little bit of risk off the table, they sometimes think, well, maybe you should take some money away from the emerging markets.
Certainly. They're less liquid markets. They're riskier markets, more idiosyncratic. So if you are sort of shifting into a more cautious stance, you're going to take some chips off the table first in those markets. So, yes, they do get hit just in general by the risk-off attitude.
All right. So more costs of the trade tensions that we're seeing around the world. Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Always good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
If you're a member of your local public radio station, we thank you because your support helps those stations keep programs like Marketplace on the air. But for Marketplace to really grow, we need additional investment from those who care most about what we do, superfans like you. Your donation helps us create more content that matters to you and your community and to reach more people where they are, whether it's radio, podcasts, or online. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org. And thank you. Replacing a worn-out hip or knee or fusing a damaged spine requires an expanding variety of medical devices, some of them implantable. The constant innovation sometimes leaves surgeons relying on how-to videos on YouTube to get up to speed. Blake Farmer from WPLN in Nashville reports.
J.P. Warner straps on a pair of virtual reality goggles. Instantly, he's immersed in the operating room.
So I mark that. I take a scalpel.
This third-year resident at Vanderbilt University is practicing a rare procedure using a specially made pin. In this simulation, he's repairing what's known as a skiffy, a dislocated hip in a child.
I've seen and operated probably about twice on an actual skiffy.
He grabs specialized tools from a stack of trays in his virtual world. The commands float over the operating table, guiding him to drill a pilot hole. He selects the right size pin to place through the bone, but the angle's a little off.
I'm not happy with that. I want to do it right now again.
Vanderbilt and a dozen academic medical centers are test piloting this virtual reality training from Oso VR. The idea is that device companies would pay to feature their products and provide the training to surgeons for free. Device maker Smith & Nephew has already signed a deal with Oso to promote a new knee replacement device that requires robotic assistance. The hope is that surgeons will start using the new procedure once they get comfortable in virtual reality. But Vanderbilt orthopedics professor John Schoniker says this won't just help surgeons.
The place that I think this is going to be amazing for is actually with the sales reps.
Currently, hospitals allow medical device companies to have a sales rep in the operating room, partly to make sure the products are used correctly. Justin Barad is an orthopedic surgeon and the founder of Oso VR. He says device manufacturers need a better way to educate surgeons.
They don't have providers who can use their technologies because they don't have a cost-effective way to not only train them, but also a way to assess them to make sure they're using it properly.
Often, training requires flying a surgeon to a company lab for a one-off experience, says Tim Maury. He heads up training for Johnson & Johnson's medical device division.
With VR, we can bring the training right to them. They can safely make mistakes and learn and repeat.
Maury says he's bullish on virtual reality. But Lisa McGifford with the Patient Safety Action Network says virtual reality training still fails to address what she sees as a fundamental problem if it's company sponsored.
It can lead to more dependency on the company for information than even a sales rep might create.
In McGifford's view, hospitals and surgeons have handed over too much control to manufacturers. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And Kevin Hassett, the chair of President Trump's Council of Economic Advisors, is stepping down. Hassett says it's just time, a, quote, circle of life kind of thing. He's a more traditional conservative whose earlier career and teachings might have put him at odds with Trump trade and industrial policy, but he's not voiced criticisms, if he has them, out loud. Hassett advised Republican Mitt Romney during the 2012 presidential campaign and was a fixture at the American Enterprise Institute. President Trump says a, quote, very talented replacement will be named soon. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.